Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
All day, I thought, guys, our leadership, obviously, you know, always point to OV or people like that, but I thought guys like Brooks Orpik and Oshie and Backe and those guys were very determined. They were going to make sure that there was no doubt that, you know, we were going to take this to a game seven. Really good energy, not only in our room this morning, tonight, great energy in the building. Fans weren't apprehensive.
Barry Trotz, after a decisive 3-0 shutout win over the Lightning last night for his Capitals. Thanks to Pete for the update. We're giving you 12 chances a day to win $1,000 in the 12K a day cash flash contest. Your next chance to win is coming up at 12:02, 1 hour from right now in the cash flash. Message and data rates may apply. Let's go to the Mattress Warehouse Hotline. Welcome onto the show, our buddy Craig Lachlan. Locker, what a performance last night. The Caps' backs were pressed against the wall. They're trying to stave off elimination. And I'm not sure I've seen them play that well all season. What a game, eh?
Yeah, guys. I mean, amazing, wasn't it, Grant? I mean, you look at the way they came out. We were talking about just their starts and how poor it was game five and game six. To me, I thought it was the most complete playoff game I've seen since I've been here, and the hardest that I've seen a Caps team play. And those two things work out well against a high school team. It's not over yet. They're going to have to figure that formula out for game seven tomorrow night. But yeah, that was something special to watch last night.
Locker, you can take this whichever way you want to. What Capitals player impressed you the most last night?
Probably Ovi. And I'm saying Ovi, and a lot of people are probably going to say, well, Ovi's got two, and you know, they got a lot of support throughout the lineup. They were hitting. DSP got a big goal and all that. But I still think the team hinges on Alex Ovechkin. And I'll tell you why. He doesn't have to score to be a prominent player and an impactful player as we've seen him throughout his career here in Washington. I just thought he had something special that he did not want to lose in front of his hometown fans. He had fire on his belly. He wanted to go out and move this team forward. And I could see it on the opening shift. And it's not the hits. It's getting involved. It's getting in on their D. He just had an emotional impact in my mind. If you're a player sitting on the bench and you see your captain do the things that he was doing, even though he doesn't score, everything that he did, I thought he led his team and he willed the team to victory. And you could see everybody follow his play. They raised their level of play substantially, everybody throughout the lineup. And to me, that's not only coaching, but it's the guys on the bench. When you're a coach behind the bench, buries the swarm lines over the boards. It's the players that have to deliver. And I think they followed suit with Alexander Ovechkin last night.
Craig Lachlan is on the Mattress Warehouse Hotline on Grant and Danny here on The Fan. You mentioned Ovi and how physical he was. Tom Wilson, Brooks Orpik, Devontae Smith-Pelly, all factoring into that discussion as well. They were bringing wood last evening. Do you think that was by design or just kind of how the game plays out when you see one or two guys throw a big hit?
I think it's by design. I think when you're in the playoffs, it's a funny thing, you know. You want to be physical but smart. And throughout the days in the National Hockey League, I thought the referees, number one, did a great job, man. I thought they let the boys play, and a lot of people hate when I say that, but you've got to be physical. It's part of the nature of the game, and I thought they allowed and made the correct calls and all the big hits. They were clean and were involved, and I think it's a game plan coming into any game, especially against a high-skilled team. You know, that's a team that wants to beat you with skill, and if you're continuing turning away from their little deeks and little moves, it's going to be a long night for you. And they had no turnaways. They took the direct route to the puck and smacked them. And to me, you saw at the top of the, you know, when we talked at the top of the series, I said they were slow and old on the back end, several of the defensemen. Not that they're not still NHL performance defensemen, but they're older and they're slower. And that type of contact makes you move the puck probably quicker than you probably normally would as a veteran defenseman because you know you're going to get cracked. So that, to me, is a big part of the game plan of the Caps. And that keeps the puck out of the hands of their skilled guys. Kucherov really was invisible other than one shot off the crossbar. And if you can nullify a guy like Kucherov and Stamkos, it stems from probably pounding their D, who are the first line of getting the offense going. So the Caps, yeah, it's a game plan, and it's a hard way to play. You look at TJ Oshie at the end of the game and say, I'm tired. And rarely have we seen that from a team here in Washington. Throughout the lineup, everyone straight to the puck, no flybys, no turnaways, and that really put them behind the eight ball for Tampa Bay, and that's why the Caps were victorious.
Craig Lachlan with us on the Mattress Warehouse Hotline, breaking down a Game 6 W. We go to Tampa on Wednesday. Locker, what adjustment did you see from the Caps on that penalty kill? It was almost, you know, 50% chance that it was going to be a goal earlier on this series with how lethal Tampa's power play is. What did you see the Caps do differently? Really, these last three power plays where Tampa hasn't scored.
Better. I think then you look at it, I think it starts twofold. Number one, they stack the blue line and make them bump the puck more than carry it. They're a carry-in team. They're not a dump-in team because it's hard to retrieve pucks in the NHL, so you want to have control. That, number one. And number two, when they did get into the formation, they were a lot tighter. Penalty kill's all about being in sync. If you watch it, it's sort of like synchronized swimming. You've got to move together. And when there's one person out of line, then that whole thing breaks down. And I think they had everything in sync. They were synchronized, and they had sticks in lane. And all the details that you hear ad nauseum from us analysts about how to be a great penalty-killing team, they executed that. And it's just a mindset, guys. You know, you get caught out too far, they're going to burn you with that seam pass. They closed that off. And they forced Hedman to make better decisions with the puck. And if you watch last night, even on the power play, he was zipping him to the corner. He was zipping him off the post. He wasn't really getting a lot of shots through because they were in formation. And that's going to continue tomorrow night.
Brayden Holtby's first shutout of the season came in game number 100 for the Caps, timed beautifully. Curious how much of it was him last night and the defensive effort, because I thought they did a much better job in front of him. They haven't looked that good and sound defensively since they were in Tampa to start the series.
Yeah, anytime you get a shutout, you know, you'll hear goalies around the NHL, man, my guys did a great job in front of me. And I don't really believe that. What he did last night, he outplayed Murray. He outplayed Bobrovsky in Series 1 and 2. The last three games, Vasilevsky actually had the Caps number and outperformed Brayden. Brayden was back to form because if you watch closely, he made the saves that the Caps kept to the outside. But then when they did get inside, because they're a good offensive team, they're still going to get great looks, and they're going to get great looks tomorrow night. Your goalie has to come up with a couple that he probably shouldn't save. And Brayden came up with three in my mind last night that maybe earlier on when he was going through a funk or was when he wasn't as sharp, probably two of those three would have been by his catching mitt. So to me, that was the difference. He had to make a couple more stops. And that's going to be adamant for him to continue to play the way he was, Grant, because it settles down the bench. Players, when they sit on the bench, they feel totally different on how they can play and be more aggressively when your goalie makes one of those type of saves. It's a huge boost to the bench, and that, to me, pushed the Caps continually to be aggressive. All game, they didn't sit back. There was no prevent defense, which I absolutely loved last night.
Locker, what is carryoverable, if even that's a term or a word? What can the Caps carry over from this past game to Wednesday, and what's something that probably won't be able to in terms of trying to win a Game 7?
Well, I think that it's going to be that energy, and I know that's hard because they have, you know, 72 hours or whatever it is, 48 hours to get ready for this hockey game. And to me, It's nothing about coaching. It's nothing about anything now going into that game. To me, it's more an intangible game in Game 7 that the Caps have to realize that they have totally dominated 5-on-5. And it's not been close, guys. I mean, if you get in a penalty game, forget about it. You're, you know, it's going to be a 5-goal game. Either way, it's going to be 3-2 Caps or 3-2 or 4-3, whatever it's going to be, either way, because both teams are very good on the power play. So the mentality has to be more intangible. How can we play with the same type of energy, the same type of hardness? And I've never seen a team, and I mentioned it on our shows, play as hard as they do. And it's hard to say because, you know, when you ask people, could you have played harder? A lot of players and athletes are going to say, yeah, maybe I could give a little. You hear it all the time. And that's the difference in this hockey team. They play hard to a man. And because of that, that's the thing I want to see them carry into Tampa. I want to see the hardness continue. And guys, it's a hard way to play. I'm saying a lot of hardness, but it's a hard way to play because it zaps your legs, it zaps your energy. But they're going to have to find that tomorrow night in Tampa to get Game 7.
Locker, I want to float something to you. Last round, they had to get through one of their ghosts, right, of playoffs yep. past in the Penguins. This round now, it's a Game 7. I mean, to me, this is lining up as if basically they've got all these obstacles they've got to clear that over the years they haven't been able to, and if they can, they can get to the Cup.
This is their checklist, Grant, and they've checked off a lot of boxes, including early on in the season when a lot of us guys probably said they'll be lucky to make the playoffs or I'll be a wild card. They've checked everything off to a team. And to me, right now, the Caps are in the driver's seat. It's going to be 60 minutes. But this is another box to check off and tell all the pundits out there, you guys were totally wrong. It's us against the world. And we want to prove to everybody by winning Game 7 and playing Vegas.
Locker, you're the best, buddy. Hope we're talking to you about a Stanley Cup appearance soon. Appreciate it, man.
Sounds great, Grant. I'll see you later, buddy.
Yes, sir. We'll see you at NBC Sports Washington. Check us out tonight, 6 o'clock, for the Road to the Cup special I'm doing with Craig Lachlan and Brent Johnson and Al Koken, among others. Grant and Danny here on the Fan. Speaking of smoking Al Koken, he's going to be on our show at 1:30 today to look ahead to Game 7. Remember, Tim Collins, the lefty reliever who made his Nationals debut last night after 3 years out of baseball coming back from a couple Tommy John surgeries, is still scheduled to join the show as well. Next, let's see how LeBron James willed his team back into a series 2-2 with Boston. You're listening to The Fan.
Hey, guys, Danny Ruye for Crop Metcalf. Are you an experienced HVAC installation technician who loves installing complex heating and cooling systems, takes pride in your work, and loves helping customers live more comfortable lives? Crop Metcalf is looking for the Washington, D.C. area's best residential and commercial HVAC installation technicians to join their five-star team. Crop Metcalf's technicians enjoy year-round work, career development, excellent benefits, paid ongoing training, and a fun, dynamic culture. If you're a talented HVAC installation or service technician, plumber, or pest control technician, Crop Metcalf would love to talk to you about their immediate openings. If you're looking to kickstart your career, this is the opportunity you've been waiting for. Call 1-800-GO-CROP or visit cropmetcalf.com and submit your resume today. Crop Metcalf, home of the five-star technician and proud partner of the Washington Nationals.
Grant and Danny welcoming you back. 106.7 The Fan. We'll go double play style at 11:45. Tell you about what's going on in our lives, nothing to do with sports. You got anything yet for the double play?
I got a couple things cooking, my friend. It's a big thing here in the development of a previous double play, what we might expect from a huge budget Amazon Prime television show that's coming, or a possible follow-up to a current spinoff that's about to hit theaters. I've got to decide.
I like that.
Yeah.
I saw a story that's crazy, but I'm trying to fact-check to see if it's right. Because I'm not completely sure that it's correct.
We've got to be very authentic in our double plays. It can't just be willy-nilly.
It's one of these stories that's all over the internet right now, but I got to do some more legwork and research to just ensure that it actually happened, because it's hard to fathom. A double play, 11:45 here on Grant and Danny. So last night, the Boston Celtics were in Cleveland, 2-1 series lead. They were up 2-0. I thought only the Capitals blew 2-0 series leads. Hmm. Apparently not. Apparently, when you play good teams, it happens sometimes in the playoffs. So Boston drops game four to Cleveland at the Q, 111-102. The game honestly wasn't really that close. In the second half, the Celtics outscored the Cavs by a total of 6 points to kind of close the gap a little bit. But it was never in doubt, and that's because LeBron James, who is the third best scorer all time in NBA history with his team trailing in a series, behind only Michael Jordan. I can't remember who was second on that list. 44 points for LeBron James. A rare night where he didn't have that many rebounds or assists. 5 boards, 3 dimes. Normally he's flirting with the triple-double. But he hoisted 28 shots, hit 17 of them last night. And by the way, only 4 of them were threes. Like, he was driving, he was getting to the rim, he was working the mid-range jumper.
Usually those assist numbers correlate to that because guys slide over and he always makes the right play.
He turned the ball over 7 times last night.
Yeah, they were letting him finish at the risk of, you know, open threes for some of his teammates. He's making the transcendent mundane. He's making incredible routine. And there's nothing else you could say to compliment the guy. He is just so outstanding. You brought this up during the course of the season. James Harden's going to go win the MVP this year. I still think it's justified, by the way, even though it just looks worse and worse as time goes on, as LeBron just basically single-handedly brings his team in the playoffs.
You think it's the horse that's got a chance at the Triple Crown justify?
No. I was talking about sports. So the fact that Harden's going to win it doesn't look real good because he's just okay as they're going to get the doors blown off by Golden State as the best team in the world, and LeBron is just so much better than everybody else. It's stupid. But a couple things about this game. I got to watch a lot of it. I went back and watched even more because I'm a lunatic. Tyronn Lue got some criticism about this, but he did a smart thing. In at a time when the league is going smaller and you basically want to have one point guard and 6 wings just running around all the time, he put Tristan Thompson back in the starting lineup. Thompson, 13 points, 12 boards, physical presence, really important. They basically decided to muck this thing up. Defensively, Boston runs a lot of action when they're on offense. They run, they screen, they have guys like Tatum and Jaylen Brown and Terry Rozier sprinting around, making you play defense. Off the ball, they dared the officials. They said, call this. Go ahead and call it. Call us clutching and grabbing and again, mucking this game up, almost hockey style, frankly. Cleveland found something here. Now you wonder if you go back home and Boston's as comfortable. I give
the
them credit
Celtics
for,
have been great at home and bad
so
on
good.
The road in the playoffs.
And I wonder if Boston, you know, those guys, the quote-unquote role players, more comfortable at home if they can kind of get over some of it. I trust Brad Stevens to be able to make the appropriate adjustments. But Boston impressed me coming back the way that they did after, another blitz in the first quarter where they were down 16. They chipped away, made it a game. When Marcus Smart was in, they were much better defensively. But Boston needed an answer a couple times and some spurts to cut it to 3-4, something like that, with a couple shots. Just couldn't get over the hump. But they played so well at home, this is still a deep series. But yeah. LeBron was amazing.
Brand new series now, thanks to LeBron James, after 2 consecutive wins at home.
We don't know what we're going to see in Game 5. I mean, only the game guys know that. We know it's going to be an environment. We know their fans are going to be very energetic. But we have to just have our same mindset as we had when we came home for these 2 games. And, you know, if our mind is there, then, we put ourselves in a position to be victorious.
I think you're right about Tyronn Lue making a nice adjustment with Tristan Thompson back into the starting lineup for some size. But if we're going to start matching adjustments and going tit for tat and playing chess here.
Advantage Stevens.
I like Brad Stevens' chances. Yeah. And he's talking like Barry Trotz about a short series now that starts again.
It's the best 2 out of 3 to go to the NBA Finals. Doesn't get better than that. I mean, ultimately, you know, anybody that didn't think this was going to be tough, I mean, everything is tough. And, you know, in this deal, it's a blast to have to grit your teeth, get up off the mat, and go after it again. That's part of it. That's part of what makes these guys on both sides special. It's part of what makes the Western Conference team special. They're able to do it. They're able to block out everything that doesn't matter and go compete. And that's what we'll go do.
So such a good point by Brad Stevens, mm-hmm. though, because – now, I can make this case for the Capitals very easily right now, but the Celtics, if they can go get Game 5, will be in the exact same boat. It's a good thing as fans we aren't the ones on the ice or on the court. Seriously.
Yeah.
I mean, because people acted as though, and who knows, the Caps could lose Game 7. And if they do, it'll have nothing to do with the games that necessarily played out previously in the series in terms of whether they play well or not in Game 7. That's kind of now what matters. But they weren't given a chance. Last night, nationally, I was listening on the way home from Bethesda to Scotty Farrell on the bench. On the bench. And Farrell last night was talking about no one thinks they're going to win. They can't win this game. Tampa Bay is better. Players don't care about any of that crap. They just know they got to go out there and they got to play the game they've been playing their entire lives. And if they're a little bit better than their really good opponent, they're going to win that night. Al Horford and Boston have been amazing when they get back to their building.
You know, as a group, we're excited to be back, going back home. And, obviously we understand the challenge of it. We can't think about the past. We just have to worry about this opportunity. And we have a game 5 at home, and we have to make the most of it.
Last night for the Celtics, they just couldn't shoot the ball all that well.
Yeah.
They were 41% from the floor, 35 of 85 shooting. They actually hit 9 three-pointers on 28 attempts, which isn't terrible. But the problem was that they had a hard time finishing around the rim,
yep,
hitting some of the mid-range and two-point stuff.
I think that's a Thompson thing.
I agree with you. Take Jaylen Brown out, Horford, Tatum, Rozier, and I would even say off the bench, Marcus Smart, all really scuffled offensively.
And they'll shoot better at home. That's what, guys that are, again, kind of role players do. The key to me is if Al Horford can kind of kick Cleveland's butt like he did in those first couple games where they had no answer. It doesn't show up always in the box score. He's not like a 30-point, 15-rebound kind of
a
center.
He's such a good player, though.
But he's such a good player. He's
so underrated.
It's a shame
the Wizards couldn't assign him. They tried so hard.
Yeah, and they wanted to, but he didn't want their money. He'd have been so perfect for this team, for this system, for this scheme, for everything. He makes life so difficult. He creates matchup problems.
Correct me if I'm wrong. That was right after Durant didn't even take the meeting.
Correct.
Was that the same offseason?
Mm-hmm.
So they basically made all their plans and did everything they could for Durant.
Mm-hmm.
He couldn't have been less interested.
Right. To the point he didn't even take a meeting.
Correct. But my point is they wanted to go to the prom with him, and he basically had 6 other options and never even acknowledged that they existed. But then they said, okay, well, we got all this money. We freed all this up. They wanted Al Horford. They made a really good offer and did everything they were supposed to. He said no. And that's when they turned their attention to Jan Mahimi.
Jan Mahimi, Andrew Nicholson, Jason Smith, come on down. By the way, Jason Smith and Jody Meeks exercised their second-year player options, which was a nice little poison pill injected into the contracts by Ernie Grunfeld. So you got $9 million between the two guys that probably won't contribute next year.
Grant and Danny on the Fan, one of the best players in the NFL, is still looking for a new contract, still not getting it. He's not showing up until he does, and he's getting more and more frustrated. You're listening to G&D.
It is Grant and Danny. For our friends at EMP 180 Weight Loss, a cool announcement. We're happy to announce it on behalf of EMP 180 Weight Loss. Based on the enormous demand from the listeners of this radio program, EMP is offering a brand new location in Woodbridge. In just over a year, EMP 180 has become the standard for nutritional-based weight loss in the D.C. area. They've helped Grant a ton. They've helped me a ton. They've been so busy, Grant, with locations in Tyson's and Rockville, they're adding another location for our listeners in Woodbridge.
Woodbridge, Virginia, right off 95. This is where my brothers are going to be going when they get started on EMP 180 weight loss start of next month, which I'm excited about. We've been telling you guys about EMP 180 weight loss. You hear listeners in our commercials now at this point who come into the studio and hang out with us and talk to us about their journeys, some of them down 50 and 60 and 100 pounds. I mean, what are you waiting for? If you've got to lose weight, and a lot of us do, start now. It only gets more difficult with every day that you wait, with every pound more overweight that you become. EMP180weightloss.com. EMP180weightloss.com. Tyson's Corner, Rockville, Woodbridge. They're strategically locating these spots. So there's really no excuse for you not to get on board.
Call 855-888-0180 to schedule your consultation today.
You could spend the weekend doing the same old whatever, or you could conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
It's 11 minutes away at 11:45. I got a couple of good stories here, thanks to Brendan Dar, I'll be choosing from. Be careful what you ask to be put on a cake. Because apparently in 2018, you can't put very normal things on your cake.
Can't do it.
More on that in the double play. Aaron Donald still does not have a contract. I asked you this yesterday. I want to dig into this a little deeper here. ESPN.com. Cornerback Marcus Peters is new to the Rams, but he has quickly developed an opinion on defensive tackle Aaron Donald's contract situation Pay the man, Peter said Monday after the Rams' first organized team activities workout. Sean McVay said, it is something that we want to get resolved. As far as a timetable, I don't really have any dates on that. If you want to get it resolved, get it resolved. Donald turns 27 Wednesday, entering the fifth year, final year of his rookie deal. He's going to make $6.89 million. He is seeking to become one of the highest paid players in the league. He was the best defensive player in the league last year when he won the NFL's Defensive Player of the Year award. He's no show in OTAs again. Last year, he no-showed training camp. It didn't really matter because he was that great. Remember, his first game back was against the Redskins. He had a fairly quiet day against Washington, but then really starting a week later, kicked it into gear.
He's great. He's great.
He's unbelievable. I don't understand why teams like the Rams and the Redskins have done this for years, but really it's all over the league. You will look the gift horse in the mouth sometimes of the guy you drafted, you developed, who sweats and bleeds for your organization for years without paying that guy because you've got him on the cheap. But you'll go out and you'll trade for Aqib Talib, or you'll go out and you'll bring in Marcus Peters, or you'll bring in Ndamukong Suh, a massive contract. I say this about the Nationals all the time. Take care of your own. Keep Trey Turner. Keep Anthony Rendon. Don't worry about going and signing somebody else's star. Eventually, this deal's probably going to get done. But I'm always pro the player in these holdout situations when it's a really good player who's earned his money and all he wants is the raise to pay him what he deserves.
I always, it's easy to say because I'm not a Rams fan, right? It's easy for me to say, but do what you're supposed to do. But I understand, my thinking on this has evolved, I guess is what I would say. I used to just, every time a player did this, I would go, selfish, please go back to the team immediately. But just because we know more now, owners have been able to take advantage of guys like me from back in the day, if that makes any sense. Somehow the billionaires convinced me that the millionaire was greedy. They could cut him, you know, trade his butt, move him out of town at the drop of a hat. For whatever reason, whatever inconvenience they decide, whatever perceived slight, they can move somebody off their roster. For them not to treat a guy that's done everything that you would ever want out of one of your own draft picks, as well as someone that they just traded for and extended, always rubs me the wrong way. In your building, you need to, as you have always kind of pointed out, the guys that do it for you at a high level, that should be your first priority. Then you go shopping for somebody else. If you need to upgrade, upgrade. I got no issue with that. It's the league. You didn't sign up to play Tiddlywinks. But the fact that this is happening for a second straight year is confusing to me. Reward the guy like he's the player that he is. He's been excellent for you. This isn't a bum holding out. This isn't some oft-injured zilch holding out. This is as good a defensive player as there is in this league, who is a wrecking ball, who is the linchpin of your defense,
yeah,
please treat him accordingly.
I'm just surprised we're here. I mean, now it's the last year of this deal, and he's going to get a deal done, but I never really get why it's so difficult with a player of his caliber. To me, that should have been done a year ago, 2 years ago, because every day that passes, he's only going to make more money. And you know that. It's not like he's going to regress. And what are you hoping for? An injury so that you don't have to pay him as much? It just doesn't make a lot of sense. The other big story in the NFL yesterday was that the Giants had some OTAs and a bunch of video came out of Saquon Barkley's first practices publicly with New York. And basically what you see is him just beating dudes one-on-one in passing routes. In the red zone, he caught a touchdown from about 6 yards away, but he's just working linebackers over. He talked after the practice about wanting to master the ability to get open.
I'm working on a lot of things, but right now, route running, I feel like there's a lot of when you look at the great backs in the NFL right now, and you look at the Zekes and the Le'Veon's and the Alvin Kamara's and all those guys, one thing that stands out to you, they all can run the ball, obviously. But the reason why they separate themselves from the rest of the pack because they can catch the ball at the backfield. And they can do it on a consistent every single down. So I want to try to get myself into that level first. Obviously, I have to handle what I got to handle here and focus on the playbook and getting better every single day. But as that continue to come, continue working my route running because, you know, if you have a running back that's able to run routes and a threat out the backfield, that's just another thing you have to cover.
You know how I feel about Saquon Barkley. I am so upset that he's in this division.
Yeah, I didn't want
him
to be there.
Very frustrated the Redskins have to play him twice. This is a future superstar. I believe he will be the best running back in football in a couple years.
He's great, and he's going to be really, really good. I still think it's a mistake for the Giants to stay at 2 and draft him when they had other needs and options and a quarterback problem.
Which I get, but I'll say if he is as good as I think he's going to be, there's no such thing as a mistake drafting him.
It doesn't change the fact that I don't want the Giants to have him. It doesn't change the fact that I wanted nothing to do with having to deal with that guy twice a year. And he's absolutely right, by the way. This is the new league. It used to be guys like Roger Craig were oddities. A West Coast running back is going to catch passes out of the backfield.
Charlie Garner was my dude.
You're never going to see this again. This is now the norm. Running the ball between the tackles is adorable. Thank you. We appreciate that. It's now, okay, you've got your base personnel package with three linebackers, four defensive linemen. You're not nickel. We're going to go ahead and spread that guy out wide. We're going to go ahead and put Le'Veon Bell in the slot. Deal with this. Matchup creation. That's what this league is. It's taking advantage of matchups. The NBA's been doing it for years. That guy's small, that guy's big. Post him up. Done and done. The NFL's starting to catch on with things like that.
The other thing I thought about yesterday when I was watching some of Barkley's comments come across Twitter was we still debate, whether it's on this show or in this industry, in football, what is Eli Manning, right? How much does he have left? Can he play at a high level? Can he be a playoff sound quarterback that can get you deep on a run again? What is not debatable and what is irrefutable still is that he is a really good guy to have around for young offensive pieces like Saquon Barkley.
That's a good point.
So that they can ask questions of him, which was happening all day at practice yesterday.
Obviously, he's a great guy. He's a great quarterback. But he's so knowledgeable about the game. He knows every single, like, where you're supposed to be, like, where everyone's supposed to be, literally. Like, he can, like, look this way. And if this guy ran a wrong route, he knows that guy ran a wrong route. So I continue to just learn from him every single day and ask a lot of questions. I think I'm probably annoying to him a little bit, but I continue to ask him a lot of questions. And, you know, I just want to try to expand on my knowledge of the game because that's going to make me a better player. And if I could continue to grow as a better player, then I continue to help the team.
I mean, imagine if it's not Eli Manning and it's Davis Webb he's asking those questions to.
Yeah, that's a good point.
Or if they don't have Saquon Barkley, and it's Sam Darnold talking to Jonathan Stewart,
whoever
the running back's going to be. I think that they're a better football team for the way they handled their top five. Now, whether or not long-term they missed out on a potential outstanding franchise quarterback, we're going to have to find out in the next few seasons as those kids that got taken in the top 10 start to develop. Our double play is next. What's going on in our lives? Nothing to do with sports. We'll go blitzing all around the Beltway teams in town you care the most about at noon. And at 12:18, with the Caps forcing a Game 7, we will discuss what we should expect tomorrow. Game 7, the two most nerve-wracking words in DC sports fandom. You're listening to The Fan.
First pitch, hit of the air to deep left field. Back goes Caesar. It's way back. It's going. It's gone. Goodbye. A three-run homer to the opposite field in left center for 19-year-old Juan Soto. In and out of the first row over the visitor's bullpen. A tremendous three-run homer for his first hit in the major leagues. 422 feet. Zoom, go Soto.
The youngest player in Major League Baseball, born on October 25th, 1998, Juan Soto at 19, a three-run homer. Last night for the Nats to jumpstart a 10-run output and a blowout win over the Padres at Nats Park. Second youngest player in baseball, Ronald Acuna Jr., who got called up by the Braves earlier this year, who's 20.
He can play too.
Third youngest player in baseball, has double-digit home runs for the Braves, Ozzie Albies, who was born in 1997. I'm sure that team's not going to be good for a while. Gleyber Torres was born in 96, as was Rafael Devers of the Red Sox. Jordan Hicks, who threw 105 miles per hour twice with the Cardinals this week, born in 96, is rounding out the five youngest players in the sport. I mentioned this earlier. The last time a younger hitter homered in a major league game, Bryce Harper did it in September of 2012, 6 years ago. The last time a younger left-handed hitter homered in a game than Juan Soto, Ken Griffey Jr. In the summer of 1989, I was 1 year old. Just an amazing evening for Juan Soto last night. Two hits in four at-bats, including that three-run homer on the first pitch he saw in his first ever start. That's one of those moments where there's going to be another 15, 20,000 Nats fans that'll say they were there.
Right.
Than actually were. It was a sparsely attended game because the Caps were getting ready to play at home in Game 6 of the conference final. But you're going to have to check the ticket stubs on that one in a few years when people say they were at the Soto first ever home run game.
Two things. One, that list of young kids that you just mentioned, that's an impressive list. The kids can play. There are a bunch of players that are better than they've ever been, young, getting younger and younger and younger. Speaks to a number of things, but that's a pretty impressive list you just put together. And two, pretty good company to hang out in there, old Juan Soto, where you start when you start mentioning guys like, I don't know, Ken Griffey Jr., Bryce Harper. Pretty good. That's exciting, man. Injection of life. They needed that in this lineup, so good for him.
Pretty good. Beltway Blitz at noon, about 10 minutes away. Grant and Danny with you on the Fan. Let's get to our double play. Publix Market. Hang your head in shame.
Come on, guys.
A Publix supermarket in South Carolina censored a high school graduate's cake for his graduation party. This is via USAtoday.com and about every other major outlet in the country. The story starts with a proud mom ordering a cake online for her son's graduation party. On the cake, she wanted the words, "Congrats, Jacob, summa cum laude, class of 2018. Very smart kid, had a 4.89 GPA. She was celebrating that. Valedictorian, summa cum laude. By the way, what is the difference between valedictorian and summa cum laude?
So valedictorian means you're the one seed.
And summa is two?
No, summa means that you are with high distinction. So more people can be summa cum laude or magna cum laude, but valedictorian, salutatorian is your
Star's
one seed.
Telling me top 10% gets the summa cum laude distinction. So because, I don't know if you guys are spellers out there, but because of the spelling of the word, they refused to put the middle word in the cake. So they put summa hyphen 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 laude rather than putting the word for summa cum laude, which is a very common, regular, frequently used graduation time term in our society. All I can say is 2018, man.
Here we are.
I guess this is what we all want. But this kid's cake showed up. There's a picture of it if you want to check it out online. Congrats, Jacob. Summa
blank.
Blank laude, literally, is what they put. Now, they told them that they couldn't put the middle word on there because of the spelling, and I guess it's other meaning. Embarrassing. In a million years, no one would have thought about that. And that's what's funny and annoying to me is this kid said, yeah, everybody laughed when we found out they wouldn't put it on because then I had to explain to them why they wouldn't put it on.
Well, what wasn't it caught by a computer? Because they filled out the registration
they
online.
They filled it out online. And it's like when you fill out a...
Like you put your name on your own jersey.
Yeah, exactly.
You can't just put like the F-bomb on the back of a jersey.
But sometimes people will have a name that is like not allowed on the back of these jerseys. But they check over based on the statement here. They apologized, said that they absolutely should have caught it and that they offered them a new cake and all these things. But how about this? How about... make that change. When they come pick up the cake and they say, we need you to write this on the cake, and they say, oh, no, we're not allowed to do that. We're not allowed to put that word on the cake. How dumb can you be? It's just, to me, it is another shining example of we should all stop trying.
Everyone's so afraid.
Get off social media. Don't have conversations with anyone you don't know. It's crazy.
I always argue this, and to bring it to sports for a second, that for years, I think NFL coaches are starting to change, but they were afraid of the press conference. They were afraid of being asked tough questions, which is why they just went with convention for so many years. People are afraid of questions. People are afraid of judgment for so long that this is what we've wrought. Because of the swarms, because of the people that love to be offended at all times, that have their deflector dish up, just looking to be offended in the hopes that they find something offensive so they can feel powerful and swarm and destroy things. Because we're so afraid of that, it leads to things like this. Because everyone's so terrified of being, they printed a filthy word on a cake. Who cares if you do that? You know what I mean? It's so overwrought
as
that everyone's afraid.
As part of a very commonly used term.
Yeah, whether it's uncommon or not.
I think it's important. You know what I mean? I don't even want to play the whether it is or not game. It's the equivalent of writing congrats valedictorian. And one of the syllables in that word is a bad word. You see what I'm saying?
Like, of course.
This is the most commonly used phrase to determine where you rank in your graduating class.
Uh-huh.
No one who looks at that word, I don't think, who's not 12 years old and a boy in a middle school gym class, giggles. The last time I looked at that word and thought anything other than summa cum laude, oh, that's a smart person, was never. I would never do that.
We just need to change it to congrats, you were in the top 10% of your class.
Right.
That's what it needs to be.
There the top 10% of one.
Top
10%ers.
Well, remember, there was a school. Dar's going hard with that. I still can't find that. You need to send me that.
It's in the Miami Herald. I just think it's so funny because he's a homeschooled kid and he's in the top 1% of one.
Grading on a curve over there.
4.89 GPA. Again, I have not seen that. Dar's mentioned that to me multiple times, and I've looked at multiple of the sites he's told me to go to, can't find it.
So he's doing the weighted GPA. So he had nothing but AP classes for the last 3 years?
I guess.
That's how you get to almost a 4.9?
He might have T-boned his way there. I'm not really sure.
What are we doing?
But you're burying the lead of the story, which is that this guy couldn't eat the cake that said on it what he wanted to have on his cake.
Dar just umsoed you so bad, by the way.
He does.
Well, I mean, I just think it's so funny.
Again, though, you told me it was in the Washington Post. I looked at the Washington Post. It wasn't in the Washington Post.
Dar, where is it?
So now it's in the Miami Herald.
They grabbed it from the Washington Post. I don't know what to tell you. That's what it says in the Miami Herald.
Read it to me. What does it say?
Well, I just sent it to you.
Good.
Because you asked me to.
Yeah. What do you got? Read it to me.
Here. According to a Charleston, South Carolina family post on Facebook, they ordered the cake, who graduated from a Christian-based homeschool program with a 4.89 GPA.
I guess that's funny. I don't know.
I mean, it's a homeschool of one. That's why it's funny.
That's your favorite thing about this story. My favorite thing is that the stupid place didn't put the right word on the cake. But I guess we can make fun of him for the Christian homeschooling.
I like the homeschooling part of it too, because I don't know who's he judged against. Is he part of the regular Gen Pop in terms of the school, or is his parents getting him a cake for doing really well in their AP class?
They said it's a system. They said it's a system. So as the Grant and Danny Christian School expert, I can chime in on this.
It's a good point. It's probably all the other kids in the system.
Yeah. So it's probably 50 kids. So even if he's in the top 10%, he's still top 5. If it's 20 kids, he's still top 2.
No, I like it better just to make fun of him for being homeschooled. I think that's a better way to go about it. I like that too. Grant and Danny on the Fan, the Beltway Blitz at noon.
Folks, Danny Ruyer for my guys at Ted Britt Ford. Do it. Make the play. You owe it to yourself to check out Ted Britt. Ford makes the cars. Ted Britt makes the difference. We've got some Memorial Day savings. They're in full swing over that at Ted Britt Ford. Buy a new Ford F-150, 4x4 Supercrew, XLT, and get $12,000 off the MSRP. How about this? New F-150 Mustang or EcoSport. 0% APR for 60 months. This 0% APR thing, that's a bit of a theme. I want you to write me a theme. Explore, Edge, Escape, Flex. 0% APR for 72 months plus $1,000 bonus cash. 2018 Fiesta, Focus, Fusion, the F's all together. 0% APR for 72 months. Ford C-Max, 0% APR for 72 months. You see what I'm saying? 0% APR keeps coming up plus $2,250 in bonus cash. Last one. 2018 Ford Taurus, 0% APR for 72 months, plus $2,500. Here's the bottom line. Great deals, great cars, great experience. Go to Ted Britt Ford. You love it. Tell them, baby.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.